Yeah, that was a blessing. That's neat. I've got a devotional I do with Macy. I've started our youngest of going through God's names in the evening, and there's so many, and we can learn so much from each one. And honestly, when I got here tonight, I asked Steve, I said, you've got about 45 minutes of music, right? Because that'll help me with the 10 minutes I have left in me today. So you could have kept going with a couple more names, but we'll see. God is good, and I'm excited to share with you guys tonight. And so if you would join me in prayer. Father, thank you for the many, many names that we can get to know you by. Lord, you truly made us in your image. You've given us different personalities, different gifts, different skills. And so, Lord, we see even the difference in men and women, Lord. But in you, there are so many more things and qualities that we long for and we see in you. So thank you that you've made these known to us. And even tonight, Lord, as we learn in your word about going, even when it doesn't make sense, or doing things sometimes just out of obedience, Lord, that we would walk away tonight with a greater understanding, maybe of why, but just of a willingness to obey. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, so I didn't know when I would share this story, but I'll just do the coffee thing and get that out of the way, okay? Because that's what, you know, people are nodding their heads. Okay. Well, okay. It is embarrassing. I mean, sometimes walking with the Lord, he knows better than me. Okay, so for over a month ago, back in early August, I just was having some good time with the Lord, some good worship time. You remember the sermon? Hopefully you remember the sermon was on worship. And I said, during worship time, God will sometimes speak to you in ways and share things with you that help. And one of the things I felt like that he shared with me, based on some prayer and time with him, was just, hey, give up coffee. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And so I did that. And I almost got dropped from the membership role of Harps Crossing for doing that. It was a close call. I mean, people were ready to kick me out of here, I think, for you know, saying anything bad about coffee. And I wasn't trying to say anything bad about coffee, other than just for me during that season, it was time to give it up. And I did successfully for about 30 something days, maybe 40 days or so, and doing okay with that. But then again, in a time of worship and prayer, it came back to my mind. And I conversed with God on it, and basically, I mean, I'm kind of confused by this, so don't feel bad. I don't think I'm schizophrenic, but God sure does have fun sometimes. And so I asked God, you know, okay, what's going on with this coffee thing? And he said, well, why aren't you drinking it anymore? I'm like, well, because I've made it this far. And you know, I want to keep on. He said, so what's that showing you? And I'm like, well, I guess I'm kind of a prideful person. I don't want to look bad to other people. I've made it this far, and now I've made this commitment. And so in those conversations, it was kind of revealing to me. I began to understand that you've made something more of this than I intended, you know. And so humbling as it may be, but also I was okay with that. I felt like, you know, God was okay. You know, that's fine. If you want, you've learned what I wanted you to learn. And so, hey, if you want a cup of coffee from time to time, that's fine. And that was always my plan kind of anyway. But it was neat because I said, okay, I'll have some coffee. I don't feel bad about that at all. And I had a cup and really, I didn't lose my taste for it, but just a half a cup, not even that much, I'm fine. And so I've just been enjoying that, and it is a little helpful to wake up in the morning, but I sure don't enjoy it like I used to or have that need in my life anymore. And so it was an interesting little play of events for me, but I hope I can make some more sense of that as we look in Scripture, because it does tie in. I'm not just throwing that story out there and just for entertainment, but let's look in Acts, the book of Acts chapter 8. Book of Acts chapter 8. And we'll be in verse 26, and you can just remain seated as I read a couple verses here from Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And this is about the evangelist Philip. And it's different from the apostle Philip. This is the deacon and the evangelist Philip. And it says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. This was in our devotions this week, and I think it ties in very well with walking in the Spirit, and as we discussed this morning, being flexible, beginning to have a certain tenderness and flexibility in ourselves towards the guiding of the Lord in our lives. Obviously, in this situation, Philip was serving and having success. If you read a few verses ahead of time, he was having great success serving, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord spoke to him and directed him towards the desert. He didn't know why or what. He was not given instructions up to that point. He was just directed to go to the desert. I find a lot of times for myself and other people, especially younger, college age, young adults I work with, they sense God leading them in a direction they don't quite understand. And even others around them may not understand. And that's tough. And even in situations where it's been parents who have struggled and said, "Are you sure?" Or the students I'm thinking of that come to mind are ones who feel called to the mission field or feel called to some particular work of ministry. And while their parents are Christians and support them, they also really would like them to get a job and have insurance and some of these things. And so they're trying to work those two things out. And it's tough. And I work with students in that capacity a pretty good bit of trying to obey God when it doesn't make complete sense, when you don't have all the details. But even on a smaller scale, something we do often around here, thankfully, we get to see the baptism water stirred. And a lot of times when I'm with a teenager or a child, it's great because it doesn't make sense nowadays. Going in water and going underwater and coming up, we're used to that. We see that, and we've grown up in church, so we're okay with it. But culturally, that makes very little sense. And why, Lord, why? Why is this a big deal? And we understand the symbolism. We understand the importance. We understand that the church sees and recognizes and is encouraged by that. But it is one of those things, especially for, I think, young children, that you just do it because it's what Christ commanded. And that's how it was probably for all of us, is this is the next step of obedience Christ directed me to, was to be baptized. And so, again, even the act of baptism, the ordinance of baptism, is one of those things that sometimes we obey, not understanding it fully, and it doesn't make complete sense, but we do it because we have been commanded to do that, to do it. We're going to look also a little bit, or not look at, but just go back to the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. That's the last time I preached talking about worship. It was the biblical account of Abraham taking his son Isaac up to the altar, and that was the first description of worship, was God presenting what I would say is something that didn't make sense. He didn't know the details for sure. Taking him and presenting a situation to him that would really be a test and show his heart and a large sacrifice, and saying to go and take his son up and make a sacrifice. And so we're going to look at that in correlation to this biblical account, as well as two stories from the Bible, two biblical accounts from the Bible where these men in particular were asked to do something that they didn't have the details for. God was directing in a way that didn't make sense yet. And that's a key word tonight, is yet. I love that word. I've learned to begin using that word in my own life when I'm facing struggles and I don't understand what's going on. I begin, with the Lord's help, telling myself, I haven't figured it out yet, okay? I haven't worked it out yet. I haven't gotten a hold of that yet, but I'm not giving up. It's a great word to teach our children. I begin telling, talk to my kids about that because once or twice a week, I'll hear one of them say, well, I can't do that. I've tried. I said, you can't do that yet, but you'll figure it out if you keep at it. So I love that word yet. A lot of times we don't know the details of what God is doing. He does. He knows. We don't know yet. So it's so important to be obedient as we see in these passages. So what do we do when we don't understand? Well, we act on what we do know. Verse 27 from Acts chapter 8, angel of the Lord came to him. And so verse 27 says, he arose and he went. He did what he knew to do next. The same word is used actually in Genesis 22 where it says that Abraham arose and went without knowing all the details. I'd say one thing that's maybe important is just to be careful who you share the details with, all right? Again, I'm kind of wishing I hadn't had made a big deal out of the coffee story. Y'all can pick on me about that. I'm perfectly fine with that, and I probably deserve it. But can you imagine? I don't know. It's not in Scripture, but I'm guessing that Abraham didn't tell Sarah about this plan. And maybe he did, and she was extremely supportive and said, go. But I'm guessing he didn't blurt this out. Maybe he did. But again, the idea is to be wise and careful about what we share and when. Just a side note, kind of, because we don't know the details yet, and maybe that's just part of the fun of being a preacher. Sometimes you put stuff out there and you have to deal with it. But in that scenario, boy, I wonder if Abraham did share. He probably kept it pretty close to his chest because this was tough stuff, and he was going to worship and believe the Lord would provide. And indeed, the Lord did provide, but he didn't know how yet when he was going. He hadn't seen a way yet, all the way up until the point where it seemed like there was almost no hope. God did provide. As we sang about earlier, one of the names of God is a provider. So we act on what we do know, seeking the Lord. And again, this is all in context of what we talked about this morning of walking in the Spirit and having that close intimacy with Him. We will get understanding, which is a gift. We'll get wisdom, which He gives freely to those who ask. And insight and discernment, those are all wonderful things. I love the book of Proverbs, the different Proverbs that talk about insight and discernment and the need to gain understanding and pursue wisdom. And as we get those gifts from God, it's wonderful because we begin to see a way, we begin to understand a path, and we begin to have steps directed, but we don't know far enough out probably to make a lot of claims just yet. So the second thing that I see in this passage when it comes to obeying the Lord, even when it doesn't make complete sense, not only do we go on what we know, but secondly, we wait on the Lord. In verse 29, well, he shows up to the desert, again, not knowing why he's there in the desert exactly. And then all of a sudden in verse 29, the Holy Spirit speaks to Philip, very helpful in this moment, and said, go near and overtake this chariot. He didn't know, obviously, that there's going to be an Ethiopian who had come to Jerusalem to begin learning of Judaism. Understood at this time that people were kind of getting a little burned out in this culture of multiple gods and all this, and so Judaism had a certain attraction, and we don't know if he was just seeking or if he was practicing Judaism, but he was reading from Isaiah and returning. And in this particular passage, God knew what was going to be going on as he was reading this and what was going through the Ethiopian's mind. And so at that very moment, God sent Philip and said, now go catch up to the chariot. That is exciting to me, that when we wait on the Lord, we go without all the facts yet, but we go in obedience and we're there serving. We're there showing up. And we're there standing guard. Lord, you've told me to do this. Lord, you've directed me this way. And now what? And waiting patiently on the Lord, all of a sudden when he does speak and the dots begin to connect, it's an exciting moment as it was. And you know how the story goes that he asked him, how could I understand this? And he said, well, I'll share with you. And he did. He explained and he answered his questions, even to the point where the Ethiopian said, well, why, what's keeping me from being baptized right now? And they had a baptismal service right there on the side of the road. It's an exciting biblical account, but also with Abraham, when you think about his encounter, how exciting that must have been and how that shaped his faith along with Isaac's and ours also, that the Lord did provide, even though he didn't know the details and didn't understand yet how it would work out, that he waited on the Lord and was obedient, and the Lord did provide. And then lastly, when we don't know all the facts, when we don't have the details yet and we're waiting on the Lord, an encouragement to be ready in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2 encourages us and challenges us to be ready in season and out of season, continually alert for possibilities. Again, we don't know the details, but he does. So walking in the Spirit is, well, there's a certain flexibility and a sensitivity that comes along with walking in the Spirit. And I would say a great humility, a great humility. I was thinking of a definition for humility the other day, and the word that came to mind was obedience. Obedience. Someone who's obedient to the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it goes against the grain, even though you said something one day and Lord maybe directs you another way the next. Obedience leads to this humility. So being ready in season, out of season, having an answer, being ready and alert for possibilities, allowing him to set it up, allowing him to bring the details, allowing him to explain. His leading also, and again, this comes with this flexibility and this sensitivity, is that his leading will begin to reveal our heart's condition and shine light on our motives, our motivation for things. And this biblical account of Philip, obviously his motive was serving other people. He didn't complain. As far as we can tell, he didn't complain about going out to the desert, so his motive wasn't on his own comfort. It didn't make sense, but he went. His motive was to serve the Lord, to obey the Lord. In that context, when he got there, he didn't fully understand yet, but when he was directed to go, he ran up and caught up with the chariot. He didn't say, well, I don't know yet what to say, or I'm not prepared. Or it showed his motive, and it showed the condition of his heart as being ready in season and out of season. I would say also is in the story of Abraham and Isaac from Genesis 22, in that account, it revealed the heart and motive of Abraham, and even Isaac to a certain extent too, we can imagine. But Abraham, his heart to serve the Lord, to obey the Lord, even in situations where certainly his heart had to be crying for answers, had to be crying for a solution, but he obeyed the Lord instead. So I believe that these moments of uncertainty, these moments of needing more details and not getting them as quickly as we might like, really do begin to reveal our heart's condition and shine light on our motivation. And they're excellent seasons of growth. Don't underestimate how crucial these are to your spiritual growth. I didn't mention this morning. I had it actually in my notes, but again, one of those things where as I was getting to that point, I felt the Spirit saying, hold off on that. So I said, okay, I'm trying to get better at that. But I did feel okay sharing it tonight. And this is a fun thing for me, but this is really coming into play for me as I begin to try to write more. I've always enjoyed writing, and my wife has probably been my biggest support in encouraging me to write more. And I really have sensed a call from the Lord to begin to write and to work on books, and that's a big thing to me. And it's exciting to me too to be able to help people in that way. I really see that my heart's desire is that I could write things that would help people. But as I began to do that and begin to write some stories, I really found my motivation and the condition of my heart being tested through some of this. Where I would get excited that something happened or a certain story worked out a certain way, or and quickly it would reveal my motivation. Was it really to help people, Paul? Are you really writing to help people? Are you writing to perhaps maybe just just show that God is working in your life, or to show off in some sense. And those are hard lessons. I don't particularly like them, but I'm glad I can learn them that way, maybe, right? Rather than a more difficult way. So the Lord is very interested in the motives of our heart. He's very interested in the condition of our hearts. And sometimes, and I think very often times, we're going to find ourselves without the answers we want. We're going to find ourselves being pushed into an area that we don't feel comfortable with, and we want to understand, Lord, why? Why did you do this? Why did you made it look like this was going to work out? And I've talked to students about this often, where they felt like God was leading them to try out for a certain team or a certain chorus at school or some other aspect, a job interview, and they're so excited about it, and God had opened all these doors, and all of a sudden it just slammed shut and it didn't work out for them. And in that moment it's of course tempting to say, God, why did you do that? And I think it's okay to ask those questions, but not to grow angry with God and feel like he is just playing games. No, he's very interested in teaching us, and he understands things further out than we do. And it's so neat to see, even at a young age, students beginning to recognize that perhaps that, even though I wanted that so badly, this team, now a few months later, I understand why. Or I wanted this job so badly, and the door was shut, and I felt like God just, hung me out to dry. But now, weeks or months later, I understand God, and I worship God more than ever because he protected me, or he understood something about the motive of my heart in that moment that I didn't understand. A lot of times, we don't recognize our own motives, and we don't really understand the condition of our heart. We get excited about something, we get a little distracted, we get a little off of that path, and God is so good to bring us back and begin to reveal more information to us. But it's during those times of uncertainty, as we're walking in the Spirit, trying to keep pace with the Spirit in our lives, that we do what we know to do next, that we wait on the Lord, and then that we're ready in season and out, and that we're listening a lot. I think a lot of this comes down to listening. I read a quote today, again, I saw that, where it's talking about prayer, and saying that, a lot of pastors don't spend more than 3 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day in prayer. And certainly our churches are in need of great prayer meetings, again, and revival in prayer. And I'm excited that we're going to pray here in just a moment together and spend some time in prayer. But this sort of thing that I'm talking about tonight, to me, is a continual prayer. It's walking out all day long. Lord, help me. Lord, show me. Lord, who, what, going back this morning, who, what, when, and where. Lord, I don't understand this. And not giving up in that conversation. I don't think he gets bored talking to us. But we do need to listen. We do need to find those times of quiet stillness where we can hear and listen and begin to discern, okay, Lord. And that's, I love journaling, writing out, okay, why did I think that? Okay, all right, I understand differently now. And looking back at that and understanding it, great seasons of growth when we're put into situations we don't understand, when things don't make perfect sense. So we're going to enter a time of prayer now, and as Dennis has allowed us, made it a custom for us to do on Sunday nights, to take a little bit more time to gather however you want, in families or by yourself. Feel free to come to the altar. But let's take a, we have time to just spend a little bit more time maybe tonight in prayer, and then we will come back, have a short, a brief invitation time of prayer, and then we'll be done. Thank you.